Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you all had a fabulous weekend. For those of us in the United States, it was a 4th of July weekend. How did you spend your time? Were you able to get together with anybody, just having a private barbecue, enjoying the fireworks, or what did you do this weekend? Welcoming today the Oneness Talk Radio people who might be tuning in for the second show that I have been doing on this particular platform. So I would like to welcome all of you. And it's always good to see new people. And it's also really good to be back with my regulars. And I'm hoping I'm broadcasting. I can't tell for sure, but that's usually the case. Usually something pops up that shows me I'm live and that I'm there. I am. Okay, I am here. So good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all. Christine Buckingham, hello. Sally Shepton, hello to you as well. And I know that the regulars will be popping in here as well. So we'll chit-chat for a couple of moments, and then we'll drop into the energy and expression of the energies for today. Also, for the entire week, as we're looking at a week ahead, it's Monday, and that means we're really surveying everything that is going to be happening as we look at this particular week. And thankfully, this week is a quieter week. It doesn't mean that there isn't anything going on, and there is, but it means that we have already come through that full moon lunar eclipse portal, the third of three for us this summer. We are done with that, at least no new energy in that way until we get into December, and November and December. And then you should be feeling, like me, I feel a little bit lighter, as in finally, you know, like those three gateways that we were being pushed through over the course of June and into the first week of July here have passed us by. I'm feeling more optimistic and a little more ready with maybe some new tools in my tool belt to move through whatever the second half of 2020 has in store for us. And that's a good thing, right? Because it's been kind of, we're flying by the seat of our pants in some cases. Now I actually feel a little more like there's a plan, that maybe even the plan is being revealed moment by moment, and I can just settle into that. So hopefully you guys are feeling that too. And I didn't even really pick that feeling up until yesterday, actually, I think, because the first day of the eclipse, it was the 4th of July for us on the West Coast when this happened. I remember I was driving home late that evening watching the moon as it emerged out of the clouds of smoke, you know, in the air, and not being able to tell for sure, is that the eclipse or is that just clouds going over the face of it? It was really kind of interesting, beautiful, and interesting at the same time. So, all right, I see everybody else checking in with us. Good morning, Allison and Deborah Johnson. Good to see you. So let's see, let me give you a rundown of what it is that we're going to do this morning. And we're going to talk about, of course, what's up for the week. And then I'm going to start something new on Monday, which I'm going to call the weekly spiral of consciousness, so that we can take a look at where we are in our spiral of consciousness for the week. And remember, our weeks, when I'm talking about the spiral of consciousness, are 13 days long, not just seven. And in that way, we get to lock into the sacred and to the spiritual, and we can see from a higher perspective what it is that we're being pushed toward and what our role is in all of that for the coming week. And then we'll go through today's moon and today's Pleiadian Earth energy, and that will wrap it up for the morning. So first of all, let's take a look then at if we step back, what's the bigger picture for the week? And literally, this is a week where we have the more obscure energies of a chart, Chiron and Ceres coming out, being kind of drawn up and out of us. And Ceres, I've been doing a lot of work looking at her because she is such a fascinating subject. Ceres was an asteroid that was promoted to dwarf planet status in 2006 when Pluto was demoted to dwarf planet from planet status. And, you know, really only astronomers give a hoot about any of that, because astrologers are going to look at the fact that these particular bodies are here and they're showing up in our time. And that means that they're on our map of our lives, our soul purpose, our life purpose. And so it has meaning no matter what status you give it, right? And Pluto has been very activated for the last several years in our movement more toward the age of Aquarius, if you will. I think he's sort of the checkpoint that tells us where we are in that bigger time scale, that 26,000 year time scale of change. And this week, when we look at Ceres, I wonder sometimes if she isn't sort of the cohort to Pluto, right? Remember in mythology, Ceres is the mother goddess. She always carries a sheaf of wheat with her, and her daughter, Proserpina in Roman mythology, and what is her name? Persephone in Greek mythology, is taken to the underworld and eventually marries Hades or Pluto. And then that means that Ceres becomes the mother-in-law to Pluto. And then there's the whole, she's very upset and wounded, and she causes the earth to go into darkness or to become barren. And so it's a pantheon that is ancient, and it's actually one that you see repeated in a lot of different mythologies, not just Greek and Roman. That same idea of seasons and a time for being fertile and being barren. So we have that those two faces of timing. And part of that time is a dragging into the underworld, into the quiet, into the cave, if you will. And doesn't that sound like Pluto's territory? So Pluto and Ceres, maybe some kind of coming together with these two. And then I also find it interesting that they were both sort of one elevated, the feminine part of this elevated, at the same time the more masculine was sort of demoted. And that brings them to an even status. I kind of like that picture in my mind too, or that sort of moniker of the planets and what they mean. So we have some interesting energies then with Pluto and with Ceres. And this particular week, Ceres is moving into retrograde. And so that takes us from the outer world expression of bounty and fertility and more into the inner world. So we're growing this week the possibility, and for the next several months, the possibility of becoming more fertile, if you will, on the inside, right? Creating new pathways inwardly. So I think this is part of our continued view of the sky as bringing us more wisdom, more spiritual wisdom, and a more internal focus rather than the external focus. Because if you focus in the outer world, it's darn crazy out there, right? It's very crazy out there. So anyway, we have some time here for us to consider what it is that we need to improve on the inner world. Now, let's see, as well this week, by the way, that happens tomorrow, Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have a very powerful Mercury retrograde in square to Mars. And this is, I consider this to be a harbinger. So we start watching today, tomorrow, and the next day, what's going on in the world, what's going on within us. There's shifting going on. And there's a challenge being brought to us. We may be filled with some kind of internal conflict that we need to solve and that we need to be able to work with. So we have a lot of potential here for some conflict, but also for some dynamic movement forward with our minds and how we speak and in what we do in our daily life. Now, that's one of two, by the way, passes that Mercury will make this month, as the first one is on Wednesday the 8th. The next one is on, I believe it is July 27th. So this one is with Mercury in retrograde. The next one, Mercury will be in forward motion. Saturday, Chiron, our wounded healer, comes into retrograde. Now you have to know these planets that have their orbits pretty far out there, which Ceres does and Chiron does, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, all of them pretty far away from the Earth. So they spend a good deal of the year in retrograde. So on some level, it's not like this big noticeable change that happens in the energies, like when Mercury turns retrograde or Venus or Mars. But when those outer planets change retrograde, we're seeing the potential for a shift, not only in ourselves, but in society, if we're looking at Jupiter and Saturn, or in the collective, if we're looking at the planets that are further out. So Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Ceres, Chiron, all of those, and all the other, you know, different objects out there. So we have an internal shift where we're coming more into the introverted, the view from spirit, perhaps, and looking through new eyes at the potential for healing then with Chiron. And that's going to be interesting as we look at the spiral of consciousness and look at today's actual energy in the Pleiadian Earth. You see there's this sort of echo going on throughout this time period about healing. And not just the physical healing. This can be on the mental, the emotional, the spiritual level. And all of us are experiencing this Chiron moving into retrograde. Now, Chiron is in Aries, and Aries is ruled by Mars. So you know, there's going to be some sort of conflict going on between the inner and the outer worlds, and that the path to healing sometimes begins with the wound, and being able to open up the wound, expose it to the air, let the ickies out, and then from there we get into the healing potential of this particular body. And that occurs on Saturday and sets us up for the next 4.5 months of Chiron in retrograde. This is why Chiron takes a long time to move through a sign. It's almost 7 years, sort of the same amount of time as Uranus takes to move through a sign. And so we have 7 years. That's kind of a sacred number too, don't you think? 7 years to sort of undo the wound, to really look deep, to do some processing, to do some releasing, and to do some healing. So Chiron in retrograde facilitating that on the inner planes for all of us, which means likely there's a change, a shift going on in how you view the world and in how you open your heart or not. So this will be something that we'll probably talk about a lot over the next few months during this period of time where things again are going to be getting pretty chaotic, as if they aren't already, but there's more. And then on Sunday the 12th, Mercury stations direct. Anytime a planet stations direct, there's possibility for some of the crazy expressions of that planet to come to the forefront. It's almost as if, you know, you're sort of hanging in the balance where the planet has yet to gain any momentum from our point of view, only here on the Earth. If we looked at astrology from the sun, there would be no retrograde planets. The only reason here on Earth we have retrogrades is because some of the planets move faster than us and whoosh by us faster. Mercury and Venus do that. And then others are slower than us. And so at times it's us whooshing past the other planets that create this change in the atmosphere of how we connect with that planet. So Mercury stationing direct can bring up issues that you've been experiencing during this direct. Maybe it brings it to a close. Maybe it sees its solution. And maybe there is something that, you know, you just got to throw out an idea or some kind of thing that you started during that retrograde that maybe is coming to its close, moving us forward, but slowly, right? This isn't like, and you're going to see later some, as we talked this morning about the energies, you know, there's a lot of energy for new beginning right here and for moving forward, but it's not the jackrabbit type of jump out and, you know, run and get things accomplished. It's more the steam engine, right? That's picking up momentum and take, you know, for a while, the steam engine is chugging away, but the train doesn't seem to be moving, right? It just seems to be going very slowly and it picks up speed over time. Well, that's what is happening with Mercury here. There are still, even though Mercury goes to direct, there are still a lot of planets in retrograde, two more turning retrograde before Mercury turns back to direct. So we have this idea that there's slow movement forward. And remember that one of the themes we talked about for this year was about laying out a plan and the plan having steps, and you're taking stepwise progression towards something in your own life. Well, also, that's what society is doing. That is what this entire, you know, world basically is involved with, is a stepwise plan to our future. And what does that look like? I mean, we have a lot of things to address, right? From climate change to governments to healthcare to education to finance and economies and trade. And we can go on and make that list ever longer. But every one of those things has one thing in common. It's recently had some kind of crash going on in it, which leaves us open to some kind of reconstruction phase. And that's these retrograde planets giving us time to really consider, what does it look like? What would we want to reconstruct? How would we want to see that show up in our world? So even though planets will start to go one by one over the next several months back to direct motion, it doesn't mean that the energy is like out of the gate like a racehorse. It means it's sort of slowly picking up speed. Now, we see that so eloquently when we look at Mercury in Human Design for the next 2 weeks, as Mercury turns direct, but then has to, you know, take its time to pick up speed. In Human Design, it's sitting at the gate 52, which is called the gate of stillness. So in your DNA, because that's what Human Design is related to, those different gates represent the different codons on your DNA. We're looking at the stress in the shadow. So this is sort of Gene Keys Human Design. The stress is the shadow energy, the fear that all of these things that are piling on us create within our body, that stressful feeling. But we need to be able to move up to restraint, right? So that we are the ones that recognize that our minds are creating as much of the stress as the outer world. It's not that the outer world is creating the stress, it's our reaction to it or our thinking about what it means, that kind of thing. And we have this opportunity then for the next 2 weeks to come into a still point, to come to a place of balance, to be able to, you know, have that stillness in our mind. And I almost feel like it's a place where we're still in that incubation of what comes next. So yay, though, we have this opening and we have this power to move forward. It should be a much more deliberate and considerate and contemplated way of moving forward rather than some kind of just, you know, jump out there and make change. So we have that going on this week as well. So honestly, when you look at that, it's not that bad, right? There's some, you know, some things going on here, but it's not like facing, you know, the lunar eclipses or the solar eclipses and the transitions of Venus and all the things that we've been crazily going through the last few months. We actually have maybe some time to think about where we are and where we're going. So hopefully everybody has that going on for them as well in their life. So tell me how everybody's feeling. I'm seeing some comments, but not very many this morning. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe I'm not live, but it says I'm live. So I'm going to carry on. And let's talk then now about, we're going to transition over to what is going on through the spiral of consciousness. And when I'm talking about that, of course, I'm talking about the Pleiadian Earth energy. And I thought I had my book sitting here and that I could show people who are new to us, but apparently I do not have that this morning. It's okay. The Pleiadian Earth Astrology is a book written by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith. And they both together channel a group of entities out of the Pleiadian or out of the Pleiades star constellation. And the wisdom of the Pleiades is sort of that they're here to be sort of guides to us here on Earth as we move through this very technological and evolutionary time. And indeed, we see some commonalities between the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar and astrology as we do in the the Mayan calendar and Mayan astrology. And of course, the Maya always said that they received the wisdom of the calendar and their astrology through star people. They didn't say specifically who they were, but I wonder, right? Is it the Pleiadians that they had actually contact with the Mayan culture to be able to create some of the things that they've created? And now with the Pleiadian energy being channeled directly into us now, we have this opportunity to really connect again as people to this idea of the spiraling nature of consciousness, or what some of you may call the conscious evolution, or some of you may call ascension, right? So the whole thing is about how we're spiraling or moving up this idea of consciousness and becoming more than what we have been in the past. So when we look then at the spiraling consciousness from the week to week, there is, first of all, an elongated week. A Pleiadian Earth energy week is 13 days, right? So it's a sacred number, 13. And we see that we move from the new beginning or initiation energy all the way through to ascension, right? The 13 is the number of completion or ascension. And that means that we then are preparing to move up to the next level in that. Interestingly enough, Saturday, Sunday's lunar eclipse fell on the day 13. So we also saw that walking through that portal of that eclipse was our preparation to complete and to ascend to the next level in that spiraling nature of consciousness. So that means then Sunday, we started with the one day, and the one day is our new beginning. And if we take a look then at the one day, the day one, and the energy that it was bringing into us, like a pulse, right? It just pulses right on in. It gives us an idea of what will happen not only for that day, but for the 13-day week. It's sort of the umbrella energy that we're under for that period of time. So we entered into the next spiral at one exploring. And exploring was Ben in the Mayan calendar. It was represented by the reed and the need for the reed to both be flexible and sturdy. So we have this idea of change coming at us and being able to bend and go, kind of go with the flow, bending and yielding to the energies that we're experiencing in the outer world. So Sunday the 5th, we moved into one exploring energy, and that new beginning then was about new ideas that are being presented to us, sort of the push, if you will, for us to investigate the new, to you know, maybe hear something new, and then take the time to go look and explore, see what else it might be bringing us in terms of energy and flow. It is a time then, this 13-day period, as well as just yesterday, to review our options, to be more discerning in what it is that we tie ourselves to, as far as opinions or thoughts or patterns. You know, maybe making more decisions during this 13-day period than we've been able to make. But again, with caution, as we still have so many planets in retrograde. We may feel a need during this 13-day period to upgrade ourselves, or to do some self-study, some self-contemplation, and to move ahead in our improvement. We might also feel that need to or a push to release ourselves from the old thoughts, from the old ways of being. You know, and you think about that against the backdrop of everything that's been going on here in the USA, but also around the world with the coronavirus, with the way that's impacted our economies and how we deal with that on a regional level or a state level or a country level. How do we deal with that as, you know, a continent, as it sort of jumped from Asia to North America, to Europe and Australia and South America and India, you know, the subcontinent there. So as this virus has jumped around, it has, you know, affected the economies and the infrastructure of all of the nations on the planet. So we are in this time to move beyond opinions, right? The of people's opinions about what it means, rigid attitudes. We are needing to move beyond the overconfidence that we felt about the way things were going, because that's like a waving the red flag at a bull, right? It's just enticing the universe to show us where we are, where our human hubris is, and then making us move. So here's our opportunity this week. We can view the world with fresh eyes. We need a new perspective. We need new conversations. We need an ability to let go of our petty disagreements, of our petty way of communicating with one another. We need something more mature. We need something more open-hearted. And that is exactly what we can work on a week like this, starting yesterday and moving through the next 12 days, including today, even though today adds another little element of that energy to us. So it's our time to move into the unknown, to create with new eyes, with fresh perceptions, with a new heart. And if we can do that, then at the end of this spiral, as we begin to, you know, move into the next evolutionary impulse, we take that newfound freedom or that newfound awareness with us into the next level. So it's like, you know, playing video games, right? If you're a video gamer and you get to the end of a level and you have to fight the monster or the boss or whatever they call them to be able to move up, well, that's what we're in the process of. We are moving on up. And there's also some interesting connections then this week to the human design part of our template, as the sun and earth are both at the gate 53 and 54. 53 is the gate of new beginnings. 54 is the gate of drive and ambition. It pushes us out on our hero's journey or our quest for truth. And then we also have Mars this week sitting at the gate 17, which is up in the Ajna Center. It's the gate of opinions. And here we have to, you know, hold our opinions until they become tested and can be proved either true or false. And so we see kind of this, you know, resonance going on between our evolutionary impulse for the week, as well as what human design and the gene keys will be showing us for the week. And we'll talk more about that as we move forward through the week. So by the way, those of you who are joining me for the first time through Oneness Talk Radio, I broadcast live through Oneness Talk Radio on Mondays at 8 a.m. Pacific time. But Tuesday through Friday, I am also on broadcasting live 8 a.m. on my YouTube channel, which is called Living Astrology. So you could just do a search on YouTube, Living Astrology, and you can subscribe so that you get notifications of when I'm coming live on air. And we go into the depth of the day, but we also take the pieces. For example, our conversation about Ceres, just the surface that we did this morning, we'll take that deeper. We'll look at Chiron retrograde later in the week, and we'll take a look deeper too into the gene keys and human design aspects of the week. So if you want to join me there, you just pop on over to YouTube, Living Astrology, Tuesday through Friday. Okay. And of course, I would love it if you would hit the like button or the thumbs up button. And I would also appreciate a subscription because that helps me move my channel ahead. So thank you from my heart to yours for supporting the work that I do here. I'm going to go take a look and see if I have more comments, questions. So, wow, I just do not know. Thank you, Christine. I appreciate that. I don't know what's going on in the chat today, but you know, let me know if you're hearing me. Let me know that, you know, how your weekend went, what questions you might have. And thank you very much, Christine. I so appreciate that. Okay, now I want to head back and bring it in now to this particular day. Today, the moon, we were in a void moon, meaning we were sitting in the void for an hour or two in the middle of the night. So that makes it better for me. Maybe I'm having dreams and working out stuff in my dreams and not having to actually sit in the void, of course, trying to get work done at my desk and finding I can't get that done. So today we moved out of the void, and when we move out of the void, we're usually moving into a new sign, and the new sign that the moon is in now is Aquarius, Woohoo! So the moon moves into Aquarius and into the arms of Saturn and Mars and Venus and Uranus as far as transits and conjunctions and aspects. So we have some really good energy today between the moon and Mars and Venus. And then we also have a square to Uranus later in the day. And Uranus, you know, he's sort of the crapshoot, if you will, in astrology, is sometimes his role is that of awakener. His role is that of the sort of rebel, the cosmic rebel. And his whole theme is about liberation and freedom, right? He's trying to liberate us from something. And so he comes in and jolts us at times. He comes in and he shakes us up. And it doesn't always have to be something negative or a blind side, if you will. It could also be something extraordinarily lucky or something very positive. But in some way, the moon squaring Uranus brings up some emotional qualities in a way, striking us, if you will, in an emotional way. And that it doesn't, like I say, have to be negative, but certainly it's always a possibility here. And if we look at what Aquarius rules, we might get an idea of where that might be taking place in our lives. So Aquarius rules the new, the inventive, the innovative, and applies those kinds of solutions to the old problems. It's very forward looking. And it's very, and in fact, the planet Saturn, that is the co-ruler of Aquarius along with Uranus, has a relationship to time. And as the natural ruler of Capricorn as well, Saturn's time is often looking back to the past. When he moves over into Aquarius again, back up in December, we'll be forward focused one more time. So we'll be looking ahead at innovative solutions, technologies perhaps that make things easier. Of course, that's a double-edged sword. As we go through that time, we also will face different qualities of humanity versus machine, right? Because Aquarius also rules humanitarian attitudes and the human, right? The human. And everything about Aquarius is about humanity and leveling the playing field for everybody to get a fair chance at everything. So that will, of course, unveil over time as we're still in that transition state to the age of Aquarius. And next year, we anticipate that with Saturn and Jupiter both being in Aquarius. So every time now that the moon moves through Aquarius, which it's doing for the next couple of days, let's look forward to the future. And in our own lives, what might we need to connect with to be able to move forward? It's a time of revelations too, because Aquarius being ruled by co-rulers, Saturn and Uranus, revelations, epiphanies, ahas, shocking things that wake us up. And so we have that opportunity as well during the next couple of days where something can be revealed, something unveiled for us. And it's up to us then how we view that. Is that going to be something positive or is it going to be something shocking? How are we going to view it? That is our job. But again, there's also other qualities of Aquarius that we can bring to the surface, like humor. Aquarius is part of, because it's partly ruled by Uranus, it brings us that humor, the satire, looking at life, you know, sort of with irony, and then laughing at ourselves or laughing at what's going on. It is also a sign that brings us to friendships and the groups that we associate with. And our networking potential. How do we work in a group? How do we come to synarchy, where we begin to work together as equals without that hierarchy that we have been working with for centuries? So we have this other, you know, potential shift in the way that we work with one another as time goes on. In fact, it is the highest level of one of the gates in your gene keys / human design body graph. So the potential is huge for us to be able to make some big key shifts. And that will be helped along when planets Jupiter, Saturn are in Aquarius, and much later in the next 4-5 years when Pluto joins Aquarius. So it's a great time for us during these little periods of time where we can kind of get used to this idea of looking forward and of being innovative, of being impartial, right? Stepping back, what's fair for all, being more progressive. I think it's interesting because for the last several years, while Saturn was moving through Capricorn, the watchword was conservatism. Even politics leaned to the more conservative. And now that shift is happening in the next year or so, more toward the progressive. So we're moving ahead. You get the idea that we're moving ahead, not as just a political statement or a political movement, but our inner agendas, if you will, our sort of the consciousness level that we take on becomes way more progressive oriented, impartial as well. And yet we still, with Aquarian energy, have that tendency to be detached or excessively detached from what's really happening. So we'll have to guard against that, right? That we don't get too mechanistic. We don't get too many robots out there doing the work of humans. Even if we're thinking, wow, that frees humans up for other things, it also beats us up at the economic level. Because if people are being replaced by machines or robots, that means that they're not working. There aren't jobs. So how do we deal with that? We're going to have a whole set of new things to work with. And we see that every month when the moon moves through this area, that we have this possibility of looking closer at what does that progression mean for us in our own life? What part do you have to play personally in the movement ahead here? It's almost like following the spiral of consciousness, but from the moon's perspective and from Aquarian perspective. All right, today we're motivated. You might feel a little excited. You might be feeling lucky. You might be looking at, you know, what is it going to take for me to move forward? Because the moon in Aquarius, like I said, has got that forward look. But things are more optimistic here in this particular sign. However, we still have many planets in retrograde and that slows things down. So it's our opportunity today in the next few days to be deliberate, to be goal oriented, or to be able to take one step. You know, you don't walk all over the place, right? You walk with one foot in front of the other, and the next step, and then the next step. And that literally is what we're working on right now. So be patient. Don't be impulsive. Today's not the day for that kind of energy, but it is time to walk your walk and to talk your talk. And that does open up some pathways then for forward momentum. All right. Again, let's take a look, see if there are questions, anybody having any things they want to talk about. Good. Thank you very much, Deborah and Christine, for letting me know. Pawan Sood, namaste to you as well. Deborah, moving ahead with and for the best interest of living creatures. Right. Now that brings me to another interesting thing about Aquarian energy is Aquarian energy is very, like I said, oriented toward the human. It's very humanistic, humane, humanitarian, altruistic, that type of thing. And often that pits us against what's good for the planet. So we'll also be working through issues around what's good for the planet. Because sometimes what's good for humanity isn't really very good for the planet itself, right? When we think about using up the resources on the planet, it might be good for humans because it gets us more progress in a certain area or keeps the engines running. But if you're using up the resource and you're taking that resource from the earth, and the consequences through pollution or possible spills and things like that, it's that progress, that human versus the planet. So we're going to have to be very conscious and conscientious about what progress really means and what is the cost, the true cost of progress on the planet during this period of time. Okay. Let's take a look at today's Pleiadian Earth energy. Today is 2 healing. And healing in the Mayan calendar was Ish. And Ish was a representation of the jaguar. So also the priest or the spiritual leader. And there's, so there's something very sacred and spiritual about the day of Ish, or the day of healing. And the way this particular calendar works and the astrology works, there is a universal energy of the day. So that is represented by a number. And the number, of course, has a frequency and it has an energy associated with it. So the energy of the one yesterday was about new beginnings and initiation energy. The two is about duality and the opportunity as one splits into two for us to see viewpoints other than just our own. If you think about your own entry into the world, you come with a set of focuses, you come with a set of opinions, with ideas, with experiences from previous lifetimes all housed within you that you will then look at through a lens, if you will, to see how the world looks. Well, that very duality sometimes sees us being us and other, you know, I am and we are, and seeing that there's this difference going on and taking that difference and running away with it is what we've done toward the negative conflict and struggle because of differences. The opportunity on a day like today is to take duality and value the differences, right? To be able to see how all of that builds on this great tapestry of different qualities and characteristics of the human population. And your own viewpoint, as important as it is only part of the picture, right? There's a whole, 7 billion of us or so on this planet with different viewpoints, different ways of thinking, different ways of perceiving. And what we're being asked to do with duality on a day of duality is to be expansive, not exclusive, right? So being more open to new ideas, to be more connecting and being more excited about how it is that we're all connected through these different ways of being. And also expansive, you have a choice, I think, maybe with this kind of a day where you can be expansive or you can be in contraction. So, and I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I'm saying here that if you're in expansion, then you become a little more, you know, inclusive. And you see other people's points of view and you expand on that and you see possibilities and not just, you know, this one way that things can be done. You know, you're opening up. Contraction is where struggle continues, where that conflict comes in, where competition breeds. And that type of thing leads us down the road of where we've been, right? With this division and polarity, this concept of separation. So we don't want to continue that anymore, right? That's been one of the big problems on the planet. So we're really learning about how to bring in the whole world family. And that would be a prelude to us being able to bring in the galactic family, right? If we can't even be inclusive with our own people, different colors, different races, different backgrounds, different religions, how can we possibly step out into the galactic and embrace the different types of life forms out there, whatever that might be? In my imagination, I see all kinds of possibilities, but I also know that we're not ready to do that yet. And I think that's a lot of the galactic friends that we might have out there. I'm really waxing esoteric here today, but a lot of our galactic friends out there know that, and they're not going to be revealed until we can heal that idea of separation and of exclusivity and become more inclusive and more loving and generous and kind to our own family here before they allow us to see who else might be out there, lest we take those same ideas of separation and struggle and create wars and strife with our galactic brothers and sisters like we do here on this planet. So we have a lot riding on this, right? This is huge in terms of what we need to learn. Now, on a day of healing, the title of the day, if you look at the title of the day, it is "The Power to Restore Wholeness When We Connect With and Trust the Universe." Wow, right? Wow, there's a lot in that day. There's a lot here in just one, you know, a 24-hour period for us to learn about wholeness and how we connect with all that is, and how we trust that the universe is providing us everything we need in the moment to be able to be healed, whole, and healthy. Interesting to note that the energy of healing, Ish, in the Mayan calendar is related to Chiron. And the theme of Chiron, of course, is about this idea of healing through the wound, right? Whatever the wound is. And we've all come with a Chiron in our chart. And that chart placement tells us, you know, the nature of the wound. The house placement of your natal Chiron tells you where the wound is going to take place, the where of it all by house, right? It tells you the area of your life most affected by it. So if you have, for example, a seventh house Chiron, then Chironic themes are going to play out. Healing themes are going to need to play out through your relationships, because that's what the seventh house represents. And we could do that through all of the different houses with Chiron. So Chiron on a day like today then is related to the wound and the healing path that opens up. And you could think of this as magical alchemy or magical transformation, right? Taking that wound and all of the experiences around that wound and applying healing to that wound and watching with magical eyes as things change, right? To be able to heal thyself and to it's sort of a magical alchemy here, I guess, is the best way that we can look at that. And we're living it, right? We're living it. So we can alchemize perhaps duality in its correct form and embrace all that is, or we can continue down the road we've been on, which is that using duality as a way to be different, to see differences rather than to see how we're alike as well. I mean, it's great to see differences, don't get me wrong there. But when we use those differences to make ourselves better than someone else, then we're using it incorrectly, right? It's meant to be inclusive, not exclusive. All right, so going back over here, how is it going? Chiron in Aquarius. Ah, Christine. So a lot of your wound has to do with power, you know, your own power, your personal power. Depending on the house that it's in, you know, that's where you might feel disempowered. For example, and I don't know how old you are either, Christine, so that makes a difference, right? From birth to 50, we're kind of in the wounded part of it. When we get to about 50 to 52 years old is usually when you have your Chiron return. And at that point, you know, the wound is being healed in a different way, right? It's not that there's no healing going on, but you know, as we get wiser, as we age, we get wiser, and we begin to be able to apply healing to all of the experiences that we had. Now, here's another quick note for those of you who were born before 1978, you were born, the wound occurred to you at whatever age you were around 1978. This is how I've seen it in people's charts, that it just sort of lies dormant. Not that it isn't happening or that there's nothing happening. It's more inward, and then it becomes an outward expression right around whatever age you were in 1978. Well, those of you who were born after that, you come into the planet, you come born with the expression of that wound. So I'm thinking that the healing path for those of you born after 1978 is sort of a higher, what's that called? It's on a higher plane, perhaps, or a fast track. That's what I was thinking, a fast track, where those of us who were born, you know, before 1978, it might have been a slower time for us to recognize the wound and then to work with that wound over the course of time. So Deborah Johnson, Chiron in Pisces in the fifth house. So Chiron in Pisces is a crisis of faith. Having maybe some kind of wound in your life around faith and trust in God, or a religious wound or a spiritual wound of some sort. Not having faith in the universe, not feeling supported by a God or a idea of source energy. And in the fifth house, that might play out in your creativity, maybe plays out in your love and romance sector of your chart. Maybe you feel like the universe or the wound is about relationship in terms of intimacy and relationship on that loving romantic level. So you may have to work on that area of your life. And Christine, makes total sense. 62, and finally learning to take back my power. Indeed. There you go, right? Deborah Johnson, I was 15 in 1978. And I was about your age as well. I think I was 16 or almost 17. And I graduated in 79. I turned 8, so I was 17. And I also then have my Chiron in Pisces, and I know exactly what happened to me at that point in time. My little sister had verged off into this cult-like religion, and both of us had grown up Lutheran, and by choice, we chose to go to that particular church and learn that particular religion at that time, and somehow somebody connected to her, a schoolmate, and got her interested in this other religion. And the wound occurred to me when she told me that there was no point in us having a relationship as sisters since she was going to heaven and I wasn't. And that because I was baptized incorrectly and she was baptized correctly, even though we were both baptized at the same time. Too funny, right? But what it did to my very young mind, to my very young soul, was cause me to just throw over religion and to throw over with it God. And for the longest time, I wouldn't even entertain the idea of spirituality. But then the universe has a way of starting to open up those doors. I started having dreams that came true. I had a very powerful angel experience around my mother's death, and on until finally, when I got to be around, 40, 41, some very magical things happened and changed my world to the more metaphysical. And I have come through that healing journey. So you can see it's going to be different for all of you, but it stems from something, right? It stems from something. And then you're moving through that over the course of time. So Christine, oh no, that's sad. Have heard that story from others too. Yeah. And the good news though, is that since in the healing of it, my sister and I have also sort of healed that in some way into a tolerability, right? I no longer think in that black and white sort of you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong kind of thinking around religion, even though I think religion does a lot of damage, it does a lot of separation, but it's also a huge learning tool for all of us, I think, to really see ourselves more clearly, to see the world more clearly, depending on how you choose to look at the world through those eyes, right? If you start to look at all the world's religions and you see how many similarities there are in their stories and in the way that they, their doctrines and their dogma and their mythologies, then you go, wow, there's something going on here, right? Where there's got to be some kernel of truth in all of this. And can we pull those out and those things that are common instead of those things that, separate us in those same belief systems? So it's an interesting path. Chiron is so very interesting. And it's an alternative healing path. So it also begs for us to come to our own healing, our own ability to process our own stuff, to really be your own best friend and to work through your own issues rather than throwing them out there at everybody in the world and blaming and shaming and being victimized or being the victimizer. And to grow up, right? It's our time to grow up. So yes, we agree to disagree. Isn't that great? And in agreeing to disagree, we don't really even have to think about the disagreement. We just maybe validate the differences, right? Yes, wow, that's unique. That's a unique trait of that particular person or that religion. And here's a unique trait of this one, and valuing it all. And that's a huge shift that's going on within us in our human energy template. And, I don't want people to think that people who are still like that are wrong. It's not that they aren't or are wrong. It's that we have been, how do I put this? Our consciousness level has been about survival. And one of the ways that we have survived is by recognizing other and the threat that other might pose. And that served us well, right? We've, you know, grown to 7 billion plus people on the planet. We've really benefited from that survival instinct within us. But that is shifting. And over the course of time, over the next several years up through 2027, we're shifting that energy from the survival instincts to the more emotional intelligence that's within us, letting our emotions guide us. Your solar plexus connections guide you, as opposed to the fear field that is based in thinking, our over accommodation of what's going on in the mind. Now, that's going to take time to move through in a conversation totally for another day, but it is happening. And what we see then is the reaction of people who are, you know, being kind of prodded and pushed to let go of that old thinking, that old idea of survival versus the thriving in the emotional center. We'll have some issues with that as well as people become reactive. You'll note that people have become very reactive, right? A lot of the, and I'm not against protests or demonstrations. I'm not against, you know, any of that kind of thing, but you can see the emotional reaction that happens in the process of really expressing that emotion, from the backlash from people who don't, you know, want protests around that issue. And also then the protesters who are sometimes in a position of having to defend their right to be or to be able to use their voices. So we see the emotion that's generated in there as also a call for this evolution that will happen where we become more emotionally intelligent. So there we go. All right. Well, it has been fun hanging out with you all today. Tomorrow we will talk about the series retrograde more. I really am enjoying kind of looking at what Ceres means in a chart. So maybe we'll take a look at a few charts and see what Ceres means for each of you. If you're joining me here today at Oneness Talk Radio, then tomorrow you can find me on Living Astrology's YouTube channel. And that's where we'll be having that discussion tomorrow. In the meantime, everybody, thank you for joining me today. Have a great rest of your day. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.